Chair Vang, let's visit. Looks like the agriculture bill is going to be the first, or at least one of the first omnibus bills to cross the finish line. Why don't you paint the picture? How would you describe the process we've gone through?
Yeah, thank you, Don. Definitely. You know, the agriculture budget bill has always been one of the first bills to pass in session. And we finished, so right now, so last week we started our conference committee work. So after the agriculture budget bill passed first from the House and the Senate, there were some differences that we had to resolve. And so last week, we spent that week resolving those differences. And we reached an agreement. We had our final conference committee on Saturday where we adopted the agreement. And now it's just a matter of adopting it on the House floor and sending it off to the governor.
Any idea what the schedule looks like when that will happen?
I think this week it could happen very quick. Right now we're just waiting on staff to finish drafting the final report, and once it's been reviewed and signed off, then we will schedule it to be on the House floor and the Senate floor to adopt and send it off to the governor.
Chair Vang, you and Senator Putnam were both new to the chair position for this session. Talk to me, what was your biggest surprise going into this? What are you most proud of in this role?
Yeah, well, I'm very excited. You know, Chair Putnam hit the ground running. He probably is officially the most the chair with the most listening sessions this session, and especially in a very busy time. And with Chair Putnam and I, we work very well together. A lot of our issues are pretty aligned. And usually when we talk about solving the problems for farmers, you know, those are the issues that we focused on. And this year, one of the largest investments that we made this year is on the Grain Indemnity Fund. We've heard time and time again from farmers who have been financially devastated by elevator collapses. And after years of discussion and continued hardship experienced by farm families year over year, we decided that establishing meaningful protection to producers will be the Grain Indemnity Fund, and that's a $10 million one-time investment from the state. And, you know, we know that when farmers sell grain to an elevator, they don't often collect payment right away. And so this Grain Indemnity Fund can be a safety net to farmers should there be an unfortunate event of a grain elevator failure. So I think this is a very, I'm happy that this is a legacy of this year's agriculture budget bill, and to really support and protect grain producers.
Help me understand how this works. Will farmers pay into a pool with this after the one-time investment? Explain that for me.
So farmers will not pay into the fund. There is a click-on fee. Should there be a grain elevator failure and there were high amounts of claim that drained the fund below $8 million, then the commissioner has flexibility to click on the fees until the fund reaches $8 million. And so with the state right now investing $10 million, farmers should not have to pay any fees right away. And usually, you know, on average, we've heard over the years that grain elevator fails about once a year. And the highest payment amount of claims that I've seen was about $5 million. And so farmers shouldn't have to pay any fees for a while.
The omnibus bill includes a historic investment in emerging farmers, urban agriculture. You made reference to that on Saturday.
Yes.
With those programs. Talk to me why that was such a priority and your thoughts on what's going to be coming out of that area.
Right. You know, when we think about about a farmer, right, in America, we often think about, you know, a white man and who has a tractor and a barn. But that's not the farmer today. You know, I come from a strong history of farmers. You know, the Hmong community has always been farmers even before they arrived to the U.S. They've practiced slash and burn agriculture in the old homelands of Laos. They built rice terraces in the mountains of China. And here in the U.S., you know, I represent the generation of farmers that have been left out. And so we've heard during my time in the committee is the issues that a lot of the emerging farmers experience, which is access to land. That's one of the largest barriers support a new beginning and even emerging farmers into farming because of the lack of access to land. Another is a financial capital. Not having access to financial capital, a lot of the traditional banks often don't give loans, affordable loans to emerging farmers. And, you know, there could be a lot of factors at play. It could be discrimination. It could be because a lot of emerging farmers, they're not the best at keeping a paper trail of their farming business transactions, and that could be lost into getting a successful affordable loan. And so we heard a lot of need for emerging farmers. There's one staff right now that really focuses and provides service to emerging farmers, and we heard that we need to expand the emerging farmers office. And so we grew the office to add two additional staff so that they can support and provide resources to emerging farmers who need access to resources, access to capital and funding to support their farming operations. You know, emerging farmers have, not only is it a barrier to get into farming, it's also hard to stay on the farm too as well. And so hopefully with the expansion of the emerging farmers office, they're able to sustain and support emerging farmers to go through that.
On the policy side in the omnibus bill, there was an amendment made in conference regarding the makeup of the Board of Animal Health. Can you walk me through that discussion, what came out of the House and then ultimately in the final bill?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we know that the Board of Animal Health does very important work, especially on animal diseases. And now that we're hearing, you know, a possible recurrence of a high path avian influenza, you know, that's the work of the Board of Animal Health to be able to work with directly with farmers and to quarantine and contain animal diseases. I think, you know, one issue is that, you know, when we talked about CWD has been a hot button issue in both the environment and the agriculture community for a number of years. And I think that that has started to look at, okay, how can we continue to push the Board of Animal Health to be more proactive on containing CWD? And that's where we talked about, you know, looking at should we increase the representation of the Board of Animal Health and to meet the growing needs of areas that could also affect, like in wildlife, you know, wildlife areas, or like to be able to be more proactive on CWD. And so that's where the conversation was. And then also knowing, I recognize that there's a trusted relationship that the Board of Animal Health have with their farmers to be able to be successful in quarantining or containing animal diseases. And so we also heard a lot from the Companion Animal Board. That's been also been an issue that we've been of great controversy over the years, and to really to satisfy all the issues that the Board of Animal Health, the work that they do is really to look at, and we reach a compromise to add a member to that comes that is a companion animal veterinarian, and also to be less restrictive, that a member of the Board of Animal Health is also from a member of a tribe, federally recognized tribe as well. And so those are really the key compromises, the agreement that we reached regarding the Board of Animal Health. We think that the integrity of the Board of Animal Health is still very much there. It's just really adding an additional member to represent the companion animal veterinarian.
Chair Van, going back to the past election, even before, there often seems to be that perception of metro versus outstate Minnesota. Do you see, particularly from your role as chair, that there's an ability to close that gap? How would you describe that?
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't heard of any really of an urban rural divide. It's, you know, if there's any, there's more of a partnership. You know, I think in ag, being one of, you know, the first budget bills to pass because there's such great bipartisanship. And also, when we talk about farmers, the issues that farmers face, we just focus on that. We don't focus on what's rural, what's urban. You know, we know that the farmers from all across the state have their own unique circumstance or issues. But you know, in the agriculture community, we're focused on just doing the work and getting it done right. And so in the agriculture budget bill this year, we're pretty comprehensive. We have a well-rounded, robust budget where we invest in rural farmers, urban farmers. We invest in industries that can grow. We talk about, you know, meat processing, livestock. We talk about commodities. We talk about specialty crop producers. And so every piece that farmers and agriculture community from across the state can be happy about in this agriculture budget bill.
Certainly that bipartisanship we see in the Ag Committee, there's that long history of that. Is there anything else in the bill as we wrap up here that you want to make sure folks understand in this piece of legislation and the path forward here?
Yeah, you know, I think we've heard from dairy producers that they want to see another state investment on the dairy DAIRI program. You know, that's also one of the largest investments that we make in the agriculture budget bill. That's $4 million one time from the state to incentivize dairy producers to join the Dairy with the I program. You know, recognizing that this is a popular program, recognizing that this is a good program for dairy producers to jump in, to be a safety net for them, should they be struggling with their business. And so I think, you know, we've heard from dairy producers how important this program is, how good this program is, how popular it is. And so recognizing that the state also makes a large investment in that as well. It's one of the larger investments that we make on the agriculture budget bill.
Well, again, we appreciate the chance to connect, and good luck as you move forward down the floor and off to the governor's desk.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Don. I appreciate the follow-up.